Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. I am your Twitterless heroine, your queen of soft style. I am Miranda Morales. Welcome to another edition. It's been a few weeks since we recorded a hashtag Miranda Show, primarily due to scheduling, but it's also great sometimes to take a break, collect your thoughts, see what's happening around the world of wrestling, and get back to it. Before we get started tonight, I do want to let all of the viewers, you're not watching this. If you are, that's creepy and don't. I'm looking around to see if anyone's recording, you know, video recording this. But for those of you who are listening, you may or may not know that the hashtag Miranda Show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com. That is where you can get all of the latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions, some of the best out there. And if you like the hashtag Miranda Show, you may probably be a fan of some of the other podcasts on the ChairShot Radio Network. You can go to thechairshot.com and go under radio to see the whole list of on-demand and live podcasts. There's one for every day of the week. You can listen to a new podcast every single day because, of course, there's what? Not enough wrestling out there? I know. My same feelings exactly. But along with the hashtag Miranda Show, you can listen to the Greg DeMarco Show, which is recorded before this show. Of course, Pod is War, The Outsider's Edge. You have Raw Reactions, The Uncomfortable Truth, so many different shows. So maybe this isn't your cup of tea, which I get. Maybe you don't even drink tea. Totally understand. But there is a podcast out there for you on the ChairShot Radio Network. And hey, you know, keep on listening. I grow on people. Trust me. You know, you can ask my co-host of the show, someone who I apparently grew on because he gave me my own show, the one, the only Mr. Greg DeMarco.
Mandy.
I mean, fungus grows on things. Like, it's not... Oh, but you're not a fungus. You have a new nickname. Did you already forget?
I'll take it as a compliment. I don't care.
Do you remember your new nickname?
I do my new nickname. I was gonna kind of avoid it a little bit, because after I thought about it,
you made a big point that we had to. We'll use it once, and then you get to decide if it ever gets used again. But you were called on social media.
I was on Facebook called
by the world famous Kelby Klein. You were called the
Kelby.
Pretty Bird. So you are now the queen of soft style, the Twitterless heroine, and the Pretty Bird herself.
The Pretty
hashtag
Bird herself.
Miranda Morales. Plus, hashtag Miranda's a nickname. So you get four. You have four nicknames.
I have four.
Patrick's
so
going to be so
names.
Mad. Because Patrick only has one.
Well, it's his Twitter handle, too. So does that count as a nickname or just his Twitter handle?
The nickname came first.
Okay. But he's also your best friend. That's a nickname.
Yes. That's
so he has two nicknames.
Maybe.
Isn't that something you'd like to publicly announce? He's your best friend?
We don't, yeah.
Even though you announce him as your best friend every week, but you don't like to let people know. Keep it on the down low. But,
it's a big deal. You only get one best friend. He actually, I was touched last week. He was talking about, you know, his negative experience. He was talking about employers and everything. He talked about how, you know, tough it was working at the University of Connecticut. But then he was like, but that's where I met my best friend. And I'm like, you're talking about me. Mm-hmm. That's me. That's me right there.
He was talking about you.
He was.
You know, it's interesting how, you know, even having a negative work experience, you can get good things out of it. And a lot of times it's friendships. My best friend, we met working somewhere, and it wasn't a terrible experience, but I did not think I'd find my best friend through work. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. So,
I mean, if it wasn't for Sonoran Championship Wrestling, none of this would even be happening.
That is also true.
So
chance encounters at
right, pretty much
independent wrestling promotions.
It's all good. But we have Jay Garland to thank.
Right. Thanks, Jay Garland. He probably had no idea that he's just started this whole mess.
I'm sure he knows, but I'm sure he had no idea what he was starting when he did.
Oh, no. No, he had no idea. But that's the beautiful world of wrestling is, you know, the people that you meet, the experiences you get to share. So that is why you should all support your local wrestling promotions. Greg and I live in the great state of Arizona, where we have a really actually active wrestling scene right now, which is great. You know, we are able to see some awesome people wrestle around this state. We are able to bring in people from other states to showcase their talents and skills. Maybe you live in Arizona, maybe you don't, but I'm pretty sure there's a wrestling promotion in your state. Do yourself a favor and check them out. Go to their next show. Visit their social media because they really do. Every single person does count. Every single person who visits their site or their show matters and can really help a promotion. So whenever you get frustrated about WWE or you can't wait until AEW TV goes on or you don't even know what channel Impact's on, go to your local wrestling promotion. It's a fun experience, that I promise. I don't like to promise things ever, because then, you know, people are like, well, Miranda said don't at me, but I can guarantee that you're gonna
they
find
can't at you
they can't well they can't literally at me because I don't have a Twitter, but don't come at me because I promise something that maybe if you can't find some enjoyment out of a local wrestling show, I don't think you like wrestling. I'm gonna pull a Brandi Rhodes right now, because even just being amiss the action, you know, I think that's what gets people excited about local wrestling, is like you're literally in it. You're not in this, you're not watching it from your TV, or you're not in this big, you know, arena watching it from 50 rows above. You're right there. And so there's some things that I think you can really enjoy by being literally so close to the action. But even just being able to see local people from your own community do something that they really enjoy, it's a cool thing. So that's off my soapbox. But Greg, we have a show tonight.
We do. So I got a quick suggestion, though. Last time we had the show a couple weeks ago, you complained afterwards because you didn't promote the local wrestling appearances for yourself. So how about throw those out there now just to be safe?
Yes. Greg, you always, you know, you're on top of that. You're always keeping me on track. That is why you're my permanent co-host.
That's right.
Also because I force you. And also because you have, like, the password for all the stuff, and I need you to be here.
I could give you the password, honestly.
Okay.
It's okay.
I still don't want to.
Top security.
I'm too lazy. Yes. So, speaking of local wrestling promotions, I will be ring announcing here in Tucson the weekend of July 19th and 20th. It's a big deal because usually I have to travel to other places in order to announce. But I may have the opportunity to do back-to-back experiences. And I say this, I'm kind of laughing because one of these events I'm not confirmed at, but usually I just go because it's in my backyard. Again, not my literal backyard. I know what you were all thinking, but it is literally very close to me. So on Friday, July 19th, Arizona Wrestling Federation will be here in Tucson for the first time ever for Desert Destruction. It's a big deal to have another wrestling promotion to come into Tucson, and it's going to be some phenomenal action. If you live in the Tucson area and had not had the chance to go to Arizona Wrestling Federation before, this is the perfect opportunity to do so. And then the next night, Saturday the 20th, Rockstar Wrestling Alliance will be holding their summer event at the Rialto Theater. Those are always fun shows. It's live wrestling, rock and roll. It's wonderful. I am not yet confirmed, but I will be there either way, more than likely confirmed for that. And it's great shows. Both of these will be great shows. So if you are in Tucson, you got to go. If you're not in the Tucson area, I mean, make a weekend out of it. It's summertime. It's cooler than Phoenix. We're still like 5 degrees cooler. So like it's 103 in Phoenix, it's, you know, a little cooler in Tucson. I mean, you'll still burn your skin off, but...
So it doesn't matter.
We know the difference.
We do. You're right about that.
Yes. So this week's topic is actually something that Greg brought to my attention, posted from an article on thechairshot.com by Mary Helen, which... I have to admit, when Greg first told me the premise of the article, I was a little nervous because I have to go back and find your exact words about the article, but it was talking about the dynamic of women's storylines and how this particular storyline that we'll talk about is the best thing in wrestling, not just now, but like in the modern world or modern history of women's wrestling. And I thought, I mean, this is good, but we've also had the women's revolution. Women have gone a long way. So I was a little skeptical, but when I read through the article, it was something that I truly fell in love with and wholeheartedly agreed with, because it's not a lot of examples out there of WWE doing something really well. I mean, they do good storylines, good wrestling, and they also get caught in the middle sometimes of, I think, people and fans wondering where their stance is on social views, even political views, equality, all of these things. And they can put out press releases, they can have superstars talk about it, but ultimately I think the biggest thing that they can do is what they show in their storylines. That is how they really can display their view or their stance on something. So the article that is available on thechairshot.com, written by Mary Helen Clark, which again is a great article, talks about the dynamic between Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. The article titled, "Is WWE Getting the Gender Dynamics Right with Becky and Seth?" And really it talks about how WWE's had kind of have stereotyped women's roles over the past 30 years, whether you have the heel women that are very petty and mean and bullies, then you have damsels in distress like Miss Elizabeth. Of course, you have, you know, the divas, the women who, you know, are showing their confidence, but also a little bit of their sexuality. And then, you know, sometimes the crazy girls, you have like AJ Lee and Mickey James. You have maybe women who are insecure about their marriage, like Naomi. And a lot of stereotypes about women. And more recently, especially over the past year, with the buildup of Charlotte versus Ronda versus Becky Lynch, WWE has really taken a different road with how they build women as these very fierce, independent, strong-willed individuals, that it doesn't matter that they are women, they are going to take what is theirs and do it in a setting that is very athletic, but also, I don't want to say mean because that's not the right word, but very aggressively. They're going to take what is theirs. And that then kind of leads to this dynamic between Becky and Seth, that you have two very driven individuals who are at the top of their game, both champions. And then we find out, well, they're now a power couple. They are dating in real life. And now WWE has capitalized on that by having that show in storylines. Right now they are scheduled to go into a mixed, I forgot the whole thing, Craig.
I got you. It is the last chance winners take all mixed tag team Extreme Rules match for both the WWE Universal Championship and the WWE Raw Women's Championship.
What he said.
Claire, that is a total of 23 words.
They have all the stipulations. That's why they have all the stipulations. There's only what we said, three matches that have stipulations.
Yeah, the last man standing, two on one, which maybe you could call me. That's not really extreme. No holds barred are the other ones. So yeah, because triple threat match, you can't make that one to be a stipulation at this time. Every card seems to have them. Yeah, last man standing, two on one, and no holds. Part of the other stipulations. Still trying to figure out the difference between no holds barred and extreme rules. Hopefully, maybe somebody can tweet at me or something when they figure that out, because I don't know the difference.
Yeah, can someone mansplain this to Greg on what's the difference?
I'm going to steal that and tweet that right now.
You better credit me. I may not be on Twitter, but I know how to find you on Twitter.
Yeah, and you do all the time. So
I do stuff. But going back to the story, that you have two wrestlers on the top of their game, the top of their career, and they also happen to be dating. And now WWE has incorporated that into storylines. They are going to be in mixed tag matches for the past few weeks, and this is all leading to Extreme Rules. But the thing about their dynamic and the way that it's played out is that WWE continues to treat them as equals, that Becky has not taken a step aside for Seth's career, or vice versa, that Seth hasn't taken a back seat for Becky. We saw a little bit of that interaction at Stomping Grounds when Becky came to save Seth or help Seth after Lacey Evans was an unfair referee to Seth. So she helped him. He was kind of a damsel in distress, maybe not really, but kind of the idea that she came to help him is a very big turn. Other than kind of your traditional interference, she laid the law and she beat up Lacey and she wasn't going to let anyone mess with Seth. So the kind of simplifying a bit of what the article talked about, I definitely recommend to read it, but I really do think that this story is a really progressive way of showing, a great relationship in general, something that is healthy, but also elevating women now beyond a role of just a spouse or a girlfriend, but that you can have your career, you can be successful, and also be in a relationship with someone who is also successful. And that's a big theme just as a woman that I think happens in a lot of professions. You wonder, can I have it all? Can I have a career and can I have a family, or can I have, you know, a relationship with anyone? And it's a really great example, and it's a healthy example that, to be honest, surprises me, because I wasn't sure WWE was going to go down this route after what happened with Nikki Bella and John Cena. They, and maybe not WWE, but Seth and Becky themselves, because that made it to a whole event, a whole extravaganza where John proposed in the middle of the ring. They were going to get married, and then that relationship was no longer. Yeah. And, you know, it kind of was awkward. I mean, luckily they ended up pursuing other things. They are on good terms. But if I was in a relationship in WWE and I saw the way that ended, I would be a little bit nervous. What are your thoughts, Greg?
It's interesting, the relationship thing, but Becky and Seth both strike me as people who were not going to allow their relationship to or make a decision like that based on the outcome of somebody else's relationship. Even though, man, history is against them making it, their own personal histories and the wrestling history are against them making it through this and still being a couple. But hopefully they can, you know, be different, so to speak, and it'll work out well for them. But I hope it does. Like, I really do hope it does, because I don't want this to end poorly, especially because they're literally both on top of the world right now. And I think that's something that is a great part of the storyline as well. When their relationship got out there, it really kind of caught on with the fans. I think that's why WWE then decided to capitalize on it. And some people would probably say a little bit too much. Who knows? That could be. It's not really for me to decide, because the opposite would just be a singles match with Baron Corbin and a singles match with Lacey Evans. It's the same thing at this point. It doesn't matter. Lots of mixed tag matches on Raw, a mixed tag elimination match, which got people really confused, but it worked out in the end. Just a lot of really, really odd things. What jumps out about this to me, and I even had this conversation with Mary Helen when she was telling me she was going to write this article, is pretty much the best way WWE has ever portrayed a woman in a relationship. And basically, Becky is being elevated simply by being portrayed as equal. And that's both exciting and sad. Like, literally, someone being portrayed as an equal is an elevation. And that's that's kind of the part that I guess bugs me a little bit. And she gave lots of examples, like you talked about as well. And it just, you know, Becky being equal shouldn't be an elevation. It should be kind of the norm, but it isn't usually the case. So it's very interesting for me that it's gone this way for WWE and for Beth Beth. I just combined their names into one for Seth and Becky to have this relationship. And I think it sucks. I feel bad that a woman being portrayed as equal is an elevation and like the greatest thing they've ever done. But at the same time, I'm glad it's finally happened. And yes. You know, it's interesting where to go. I don't like the man's man shirt. I just think it's ugly.
Taking it too far. That's literally commercializing someone's relationship.
I mean, it's a business. If people are going to buy it, and they're going to make money, that's the thing. I don't know who makes the money off of man's man shirt, if they both get to split it. I mean, technically, the man's man is referring to
Kind of more Becky's
Seth.
Shirt, so I feel like
she
should
get... I think it's more Seth's shirt, because he's the man's man.
But he's the man in the man's man.
Right. But
so
the man's man is referring to... But who is the man's man referring to?
Well, you can refer to someone, but the man is not a reference that Seth uses. I mean, can you trademark the man? Whatever they've done with the man and that merchandising, that belongs to Becky.
Which is literally just something she changed her name to on Twitter last fall. So
hey,
that's
money. It works.
It is.
And the good news is that it doesn't have Seth's name by name, so you know, you could always switch it out if.
I hope not. I really do. But yeah, it's.
I'm a big fan of their relationship, and I really commend them for doing this. I mean, we've talked about this before, that going into the personal lives of wrestlers is a big deal, and it sometimes it's the only thing that they really have control over as far as who they can tell and who they are with, and a lot of times it's their own decision what they decide to let fans and the public know and what to hold back. And they made this decision to share this on their own first, and then WWE just pounced on it. But I appreciate that they did share that. They didn't have to. They don't have to share this with us at any time, but it's something that they decided at one point that they did want to share. And it's a very private thing. As fans, we may take that for granted, and we don't know what the future holds, but the hope is that they continue to be in this relationship as long as they are happy, as long as it works for them. But God forbid, if something were to happen, the fans are also going to be all over it because they love drama. They love, you know, when things fall apart as much as when things fall together. So as much as there's people there who are rooting for them and want the best for them, there's also a population of people who are waiting for the other shoe to drop or wanting them to fail just so that they can either say, I told you so, or enjoy whatever fallout that may come from it. So it's a very vulnerable place to put your life out there. And I really appreciate that they're doing that on top of putting this in story as well.
Yeah, they're taking a risk. But let's be honest, I mean, they're taking a risk for financial gain, too, at the same time. Like, that's, you know, that's a big part of it. They are – someone's making money off that T-shirt. Maybe they both are. They probably both are is what they did. But
well, good for them.
It's, you know, and they're making money off this. And it draws – it's not what a lot of the internet wants to see. But in terms of the casual fan base and the mainstream audience – I think they're eating this up, you know, big time. And as this article that we're talking about here, which you can still see towards top over at thechairshot.com, it really is selling a selling point to the mainstream female fan, which I think is something that a lot of, you know, most of the IWC is men and not overly smart men sometimes. And so they definitely don't see the value in what WWE is doing here. But for their core audience, which is not you who's listening, all in all honesty, this is honestly perfect.
Absolutely. And I am a storyline driven fan. As much as I can appreciate good technical matches, different styles, what will always draw me to a person or to a program, to a show, is storyline. And one of the things I noticed for a while now is the lack of romantic stories in WWE, in wrestling in general. And the last great big love story that I think people really felt emotion with and was drawn to was Macho Man and Elizabeth. And that was 30 years ago. That was a long time ago. And to say that that was the last great romance in wrestling is kind of shocking, because you've had, you know, wrestling couples, you know, come and go. Some of them have been involved in storylines, but usually in a way that is either out of jealousy, out of anger, more silly storylines, nothing that people could feel drawn to because it didn't feel real. And this modern interpretation of a love story that shows two people being successful in their careers, I think is just that, a modern love story. It's kind of a reinterpretation of love, but it's believable, and it's one that empowers people, I think, especially women, to get drawn to wrestling. And I think this adds a whole other dynamic to Becky Lynch as someone that a casual fan, especially a female fan, can support and get behind.
Yeah, I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. It's just interesting to me because it's literally, you know, them being portrayed as equals. The whole romantic angle that you talked about is damn near impossible in this day and age because of social media. Look at what happened to Rusev and Lana with the Dolph Ziggler angle. Like, it was just impossible to maintain with social media. It almost has to be a real life relationship that spills over into professional wrestling. And that's what has seemed to work here. And what content, you know, again, seems to work for WWE. And it's definitely working for Seth and Becky right now. Hopefully it sticks that way. So,
yeah. And you mentioned the romantic side. There are some fans out there who look at them as they come to the ring and they don't have a lot of that lovey-dovey interaction. And some people are saying, well, you know, I don't buy into it, or you guys should be more lovey-dovey. But it goes against what they're trying to portray, or even the dynamic of that relationship. They shouldn't melt every time they see each other. That is just not the world of wrestling.
Right.
Maybe if this was a medieval, you know, period piece where you had two star-crossed lovers, or, you know, this is two people on other sides of the world during World War II, like whatever it is, that's when lovey-dovey makes sense. But this is professional wrestling. So being on lovey-dovey when you're going to the ring for your match, like, it just is not a good look. So I like that they don't have that. They have normal interactions. They have
right.
healthy interactions where they support each other. They, you know, defend each other. They help each other. You know, that, especially for people who are maybe younger and, you know, looking to see healthy relationships on TV, this is a good one. This is something that WWE can stand on as something, as a good portrayal of women, of men, of relationships, about how men should treat women. Because that's also kind of an undertone on this, is that Helen mentions this in her article too, how Seth isn't trying to change Becky. He's not telling her what to do, who she should go against. He knows he couldn't control her if he wanted to. He couldn't tell her what to do if he was given the chance, because she's going to continue to do what she wants, when she wants, how she wants. And isn't that the dream? Just to find someone who will just let you be you regardless, with all your faults or flaws. So I'm a really big fan of how this relationship is being played out, how they are seemingly just being themselves, just that extension of themselves on TV, and WWE really, you know, pushing this and allowing this to be the portrayal of a relationship on TV and not anything too soap opera-ish
is probably the best way to go there. Yeah, it's not a wrestling relationship. It's just a relationship. Is all really, like, that's just, it's a relationship that happens to be two wrestlers. It could be any relationship. It's probably the most real relationship than you know, over a lot of people. Hopefully it works. That's really the only concern I think anybody can legitimately have. A lot of people, mostly male, think that this storyline, the way this relationship is playing out, hurts Seth Rollins. What do you think about that notion, that this is hurting Seth Rollins?
No, I don't think it's hurting Seth, because he's still the same person regardless of what his dynamic is with Becky. I can't imagine, like, it would hurt him if he was anything but the way he is with her. If he was trying to control her, or, you know, somehow influence her in any way, I think that would be seen more negatively than just being that supportive boyfriend. I think it would just do more damage if he was doing anything else. And it's also going back to stereotypes, this idea of, as a man in a relationship, you have to take that bigger role of protecting and providing and all those things. And maybe in some relationships that's the dynamic, but you also have two super, you know, successful, pretty lucrative financially wrestlers who have been doing this forever, who have their own path, regardless of if they were together or not, but it just happens to work out that they are, that she could do it on her own. She could do this on her own. She doesn't need him. She just wants him around, which, you know, he should be lucky. He should be lucky that she chose him. But, yeah, I don't think it hurts him at all. I think there's that perception that as a man, it hurts you because you're not taking the lead. But if he were to try to do anything different, I think he would also be perceived as someone who's controlling.
Well, and that perception, unfortunately, is probably set by a lot of male fans who would want to be exactly what they're trying to wish Seth portrayed. And that's just, you know, just a poorly skewed view of the world, in all honesty, and not the way that healthy relationships work. And a lot of them are probably single for that very reason. So they could learn a lot from what they're seeing on television right now. One of the things that I love about it is it's like, outside of maybe some small independent level or something, we've literally never seen anything like this that we're seeing right now between those two. We've seen a male-dominated relationship millions of times. We've seen female-dominated relationships in pro wrestling, but we've never really seen this type of relationship portrayed on this level by anybody, in my opinion.
Correct. I would say the closest to this was some of the dynamic between Nikki Bella and John Cena, as individually they were very successful. But yeah, his popularity and success really did overshadow hers. And an added element to them was the exposure they had on Total Divas and Total Bellas, where you got to see a lot of the behind the scenes of their relationship and how far they came throughout their relationship, where, you know, Nikki was constantly trying to work with John on getting to agree to the idea of marriage, of family. So even through seeing what was on TV, you always kind of felt like Nikki was more at the mercy of John, because he was kind of firm in his decisions and she was the one trying to convince him of moving past those. So I don't think reality TV helped in that case. But it does show overall, like, what their relationship was like and what they went through. But it didn't seem to have as much of a kind of even playing field that Becky and Seth do. They are literally both champions. They're on the top of the game. They are doing a lot of things together, whereas I think Nikki and John was always on this upper echelon as John Cena, and Nikki you're only successful because of who you're with, which also bothered me, because you could really see the progression and the development of their careers. And it was great that they had the support of their men and probably guidance and help, but they did a lot of that work on their own and that growth on their own. And it's kind of disappointing that I don't think maybe later on in history, but a lot of fans even now still don't think that they deserved a lot of the credit they did, or that they should have credit for the work that they did through that Divas Revolution era, because of the people that they were associated with.
Yeah, well, and no one is going to, you know, accuse, you know, no one's going to tell Becky that, you know, talent is not sexually transmitted. So that's a big, you know, a big difference right there as well. So it's, yeah, this is unlike anything we've seen, and hopefully it works out well in the end. That's really, or if it doesn't work out, they can just move on and go their separate ways. It doesn't have to end badly. It could just end. And that's even the storyline could, and they could still have a relationship. That's, which is unheard of for wrestling as well. So it's almost as if, and I think part of people's problem with this is a lot of people subconsciously probably think that you can now never separate them from a storyline perspective, which I think you can. It just hasn't been done before.
Yeah. And again, we have short attention spans. In the moment, it will seem cataclysmic. That is the biggest deal to happen in wrestling. But eventually the weeks will go by, time will go by, and people will get over it.
Agreed. So,
now,
yeah.
Now, another aspect of this, because it is wrestling, And as much as WWE is handling Becky and Seth really well and really bringing a sense of empowerment to women, there is another storyline involving a real-life married couple that's in a very different direction. And I'm talking about Maria and Mike Kanellis, and now this baby storyline that developed as of last week, I believe, right, Greg?
Yes, last week.
Yeah. This is also based off an article on thechairshot.com. I'm just going to read the title. Steve Cook's Top 5 Potential Fathers of Maria's Baby. Because wrestling.
That's wrestling.
That's wrestling. This week, she alluded a little bit to it the week before on Raw during that mixed tag match with Becky and Seth, that she admitted she was pregnant, but that Mike may not be the father. She talked about that more this week during their segments where she pretty much said, "You may not be the person who impregnated me." So it definitely got some buzz on if Mike didn't father this baby, who did? She joked how it could be Becky Lynch because she's the only one man enough to do it. But bringing it up again this week, it's really leading to, is Mike the father? Now, we just talked about the history of women's storylines and development, and as much as they've taken a bunch of steps forward with Becky, maybe they're taking some steps back with Maria and Mike. However, again, putting your relationship out there in the public, I'm sure they have some say in how they're portraying this. And also, they're not being forced to do this. They understand that this is kind of their way of being able to share a story to get TV time, which is working. So I guess I'll just go through some of this list. I'm reading this. This is available on thechairshot.com. So please read Mary Ellen's article first, so that you don't give up hope on humanity. And then you can go into Steve Cook's article, which, Greg, I think you consulted on.
I did consult, and I can tell you it's satirical in nature. Yes. Cook actually had a blast writing it. But I also think this storyline is, you know, rumored to have been pitched by Maria herself, which doesn't surprise me at all. She came up in the Attitude
Era. Oh, yeah. I mean, speaking of empowerment, like, she is the power in that power couple. I have never taken Mike Kanellis seriously for a second. Never.
And that's a big point that people will make. I don't think anyone ever will. Not with Maria.
Maria is the star of that relationship. Always has, always will be. Even back in the days of Ring of Honor. Yeah.
Because you can go back and find an interview that we did on this very show with Mike Bennett, who of course is the former, you know, the actual name for Mike Kanellis. And we talked about his relationship with Maria, and he actually said that years from now, he won't be viewed as Maria Kanellis' husband. She will be viewed as Mike Bennett's wife. And I think we can safely look back upon that and laugh, because it's just not going to happen.
No, it's not happening. I mean, he's talented. I really, again, commend them as a couple for doing this. But she, first off, I mean, she does have a really good delivery on her promos. She has this kind of intensity, and she plays this kind of heel, you know, character or just this wife who's very unhappy very well. And even in the segment during this week's Raw, she went through the motions of being a wife, being pregnant, you know, so one moment she wanted one thing, another she wanted another. So playing on the stereotypes, which again, we just talked about, which is not a good thing, but in the context of the story, it completely makes sense. So I think Maria is excellent. She will carry this story, and Mike's just lucky to be for the ride. He's lucky that they invited him into this, because what else is he going to do? And it could possibly help him get them over as a couple. But also, again, you know, she's great at this, and it's just another way where you can kind of flex a bit of your creative muscle in a very different way, that it's not necessarily being about this equal to your partner. Sometimes it is. I am the boss of you. And I've always liked a little bit of those storylines as well. So anyways, starting with number five, again, this is satirical. So take, you know, grain of salt, or just don't take any of this seriously. But if WWE doesn't explore
one of these, wrestling fans on the internet not to take something too seriously.
I tried, Greg. I tried.
I appreciate it.
But if you know, WWE could really explore, especially, you know, number one on this list. I mean, they got some good options here. Number five, one of the potential fathers of Maria's baby, CM Punk. They have a history together, but also there is zero chance. He's just.
Go ahead.
Yes, as Steve Cook mentions, he is contractually obligated to mention this possible return at any opportunity, even though it's never happening.
Yes, that was actually my suggestion. That was one of the ones that I suggested.
Yes. Number four, this is a throwback. Throwback is The Hand, which is the son of Mae Young and Mark Henry, because the Attitude Era was great. I watched that. I was like 10, 11 years old when I watched that. Do you know how much sense that... I turned out fine. I'm a productive member of society. I pay my taxes. You know, I don't do bad things. I lived through that, and I'm fine. So
it's true.
We all lived through it. And I mean, maybe we're going to need Brittany Nicole to, like, psychoanalyze me.
She could do it.
She could do it. Then number three, Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he is the ladies' man of WWE. You know, he has had on-air relationships, off-air relationships, you know. You never know. Dolph was away for a while. We don't know where he was, who he was with. And, of course, this last line, if nothing else, Dolph needs to come out on Raw and complain how it should have been mine.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. That's a very Steve Cook thing to say, by the way. And he does point out that Ziggler's first on-screen relationship was with Maria. So there's the history there.
History there. Number two, John Cena. They did, kind of going back to what you were mentioning, they did have a previous encounter back in 2006. John is fresh out of a relationship. So, you know, he may have been on the rebound, and they reconnected.
You never know.
You never know.
I love his line that Cena and Maria had more heat together than Seth and Becky could hope to.
Oh, yeah. Shots
probably
fired.
Probably not true, but, you know.
Yes. Of course, honorable mention, her actual husband, Mike Kanellis. Hey, you never know. And of course, drum roll, please. Do 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 do. Number one. Yes, because if you know if Greg DeMarco consults on something, Adam Cole is going to be involved.
Not my suggestion. I got to be honest with you. Not my suggestion whatsoever. And Steve doesn't word it this way, but someone else did in the comments in the Chairshot Facebook group. Who better? You know, what better outcome than this to be Adam Cole's baby? Which I'm sure
Speaking
is where he was going.
Merchandise.
Right.
When they released the baby on board.
I love that.
Guess who was the first person to tell us? Everyone. I got a message.
Who is that?
Patrick and I got a message. With the link and everything from one Mr. Greg DeMarco.
It's an unhealthy obsession. I'm not going to lie. And I accept
Very
it.
Unhealthy.
I own it. I out it. You know, there is no curtain.
But in all seriousness, this is another example of WWE being a variety show. We've talked about it on this show, on lots of other shows, that they produce a product for millions of people all over the world. They have 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, and a lot of other content on the network and in different places. Raw especially is the variety show product of all the other things that they do, where they tend to have the most diversity of segments, of wrestling, of talent, because you have 3 hours to fill every single Monday. So in the same hour that they have Becky and Seth, you know, go into a mixed tag team elimination match, and really continue to show that positive dynamic, you also have Mike and Maria Kanellis going through the trials and tribulations of marriage and parenthood and possibly paternities. I can understand how some fans are kind of upset that this is part of the dynamic, that this is the weekly dynamic, that maybe there isn't enough consistency in the storytelling, or maybe it's too much to have so much, you know, out there. But again, one, as Greg alluded to, they don't produce this product for me, for you, for the hardcore fan. I'm sorry if I'm bringing it to you. I hope I'm doing it gently. It's not me, it's you. But they are not producing this for us. They're producing it for everyone that they want to draw in. Even if it is for a short amount of time, they want to draw in the people who like romantic storylines or drama or creepy things or flippy stuff or, you know, hard hitting or, you know, people chasing other people. I don't know. But they're trying to get a lot of those fans. They're trying to get a little bit of everyone. So does this, Greg, though, hurt the WWE by having these mixed messages, especially with these two storylines? That they have one that talks about women's empowerment and an equal relationship, and then you have one where the wife is kind of throwing into the face of the husband that he may not be the father of their child.
I mean, I'm trying to honestly figure out a way the answer is yes. And I think if you're overanalyzing things, yes, but most wrestling storylines exist within their own kind of universe, so to speak. And it also speaks to the personalities of the individuals involved. Seth, Becky, Mike, Maria are all very different people, and Seth and Becky's relationship is very different than Mike and Maria's relationship. I mean, they debuted as the Kanellises, and which was just brilliant. I wish I had thought of it. Like, they literally debuted as Mike and Maria Kanellis. I mean, that's everything you need to know. It's not like, you know, if Seth Lynch comes out next week, then maybe we have a problem. I don't know. If Becky Rollins comes out, that kind of ruins things there. Although if they get married, well, she wouldn't be that anyway. But it's not their names. But it's you know, there's so many if people are thinking that this is bad for wrestling is like thinking that, you know, Halle Bailey is bad for the Little Mermaid. It's just a stupid take I think somebody would have. Now, if you feel that way, I'll feel really bad that I just said that. But, you know, it's my opinion.
Yeah, and it's wrong. Like, yeah, if that's your opinion, you're wrong. And you can live in that wrongness, but you're wrong. I mean, I'll say that because it's my show.
But now, am I wrong? Or are the people that I just described wrong?
The people that you described are wrong. I'm telling you, the people that you describe, I'm telling them that they're wrong. I mean, you're wrong on other things, but not that thing. But
okay, I take that. I deserve
that. Another dynamic I did want to explore outside of the WWE, talking about women's empowerment, was the main event of Impact Slammiversary, which was Tessa Blanchard versus Sami Callihan. This is something that they've been building up for the past few months. It kind of started with Tessa having a short program with Disco Inferno. Not using the word Disco Inferno, Glenn, I forget his last name. she had a bit of a program with him, and that evolved into a program with Sami Callihan. They had their match at Slammiversary this past weekend, and I was able to watch it. I overall was a big fan of this match. It really was a true intergender match that had a good story that was told to get to this point. And the match itself was okay. I mean, I know, again, I talk more that I'm a fan of the storylines and not so much of the mechanics of it. I could see some of the issues of the mechanics and how that did impact a bit of the story. But overall, it was a kind of hard-hitting story overall. Tessa was a star in that. She is someone who's definitely been a bit under the radar just because I think Impact itself has been under the radar. But the work that she's done there, and especially with this program with Sammy, I mean, she is a beast. She is not one to be effed with. And if you know, having the same admiration for Becky, you've got to have that with Tessa, because I think that she does a lot of the same things as Becky does, but actually really, I think she takes it to task more than Becky. And I think her match with Sammy really proved that. I liked her gold ensemble, which is a little flashy, but she wasn't afraid to get hard hitting. One particular move that happened towards the beginning of the match where she did some three dives to the outside during that final one, Sammy grabs her almost into a power bomb position. She ends up hanging by her legs and he swings her to both sides of the rails. That was definitely intense. And that was early on in the match, so it really helped set the tone for aggression. But if you haven't watched it, I definitely recommend it to people just to really see the capabilities of Tessa Blanchard, but also what a really good intergender match, how that story is told. I think they did a really good job with it. Greg, was that something you were able to see? And if so, what were your thoughts?
It was. I got my own personal bias there, not about intergender wrestling. I don't like Sami Callihan, and he doesn't do anything for me, so I was not pulling for him to win. I think he's probably going to be challenging Brian Cage soon, and if you think about it, a win over Tessa Blanchard is actually going to elevate him to the world title picture in Impact Wrestling. So that's a thing, that's a feather in the cap of Tessa Blanchard. I enjoyed it, though. It was probably one of the few Sami Callihan matches I've enjoyed. I'm in the minority. The only time I enjoyed Sami Callihan was when he was turning the lights off in NXT. Like, that, to me, was an entertaining gimmick that they didn't explore enough of. I thought that was going to work. But most of what he does doesn't really do it for me. But what's interesting about this is Brian Cage, of course, is the Impact Wrestling World Champion. And I hope Impact gets to this point, because if you go back and watch – there was a match, I believe it was season 2 of Lucha Underground, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but if you've seen Taya, it was just Taya there, not Taya Valkyrie, if you've seen Taya versus Brian Cage, or he's just Cage in Lucha Underground, from season 2 of Lucha Underground, that is the best intergender wrestling match I've ever seen. It was believable. Okay, one of the best two intergender wrestling matches. It was believable, it was entertaining, and Cage, honestly, is really good at it. Fast forward to Cage versus Tessa Blanchard at Wrestle Circus. Both these matches, by the way, won by Brian Cage. Again, believable. Like Brian Cage made it look believable that Tessa Blanchard was competing with him. And the dude is a monster. And it wasn't anything that looked like Tessa was superhuman. Like, it looked like she could really do it. And it looked like he was really doing things. Like, it was just believable. And that's not easy to do. I mean, that's the challenge of intergender wrestling, is that it's not easy to do it and it'd be believable. Which is why a lot of people are against it. Brian Cage has figured out a way to make it believable that this guy could actually have this competitive match with a woman, and no one is really suspending more disbelief than normal in professional wrestling. And both of those opponents are on the Impact Wrestling roster. They could, you know, it could be kind of the highest level that a woman is challenged for a world title in a serious nature in a wrestling promotion. You know, it obviously happened in Lucha Underground, and Impact Wrestling has two women on the roster who could believably do it because the champion's Brian Cage. And if I were Impact Wrestling, I would do it. I would do it, you know, within the next 12 months because there's money in it, in my opinion. And that's what this is all about at the end of the day. This is a business. It's just to make money. And I think that especially since, you know, Tony Khan has basically come out and said AEW is not going to do that, I think it even opens the door more for Impact Wrestling. But I wanted Tessa Blanchard to win this match, but really long term, I think Impact has a lot of potential to really leverage this because of the talent they happen to have on the roster.
Yes, I very much agree. And I understand why they had Tessa lose. I was listening to Bully Ray on Busted Open, and he mentioned he had a different idea how that match could have ended. Cheating to win, which, I mean, he's a great wrestling mind. So usually when he makes a good point like that, it's pretty valid. And I completely understand how that would have still helped him win, but also given Tessa kind of that opportunity to either redeem herself later or just to bring up, like, he had to cheat to beat her. So the clean win, you know, maybe they could have done it a little differently, but yeah, I didn't think about that until you had mentioned with having Taya and Tessard on the roster, you have two very viable, believable competitors for any of the Impact titles, to be honest, not just right. The women's, but any of the others. And that's not, you can't really think about that in any other promotion right now. And with AEW not going in that direction, WWE doing slightly different, you could really have something unique at Impact that will get eyes on the product because you have talented, aggressive, you know, just phenomenal women. And this is the period to do it. This is the time to have women stand out. So I agree. I hope it is something they consider or at least explore, even tease. I'll take a tease, whatever, you know, I'll take a tease. But there's a lot of great things happening with women's wrestling, with storylines, with the athleticism, with the competitors. And it looks different in every promotion. And I think that's also kind of a key thing I wanted to end on today is that every promotion, their women's scene will look different. And the way that they tell their stories are different, but it's still women's stories being told. And I think that's such an important milestone that's happened in wrestling that I hope continues and hopes it gets stronger. I think WWE has a little bit more of an obligation to have their stories be told in a more positive light because they are an international company. But I also think, like you said, a company like Impact could really capitalize on telling their own unique stories with women in ways that other promotions aren't. So The way that you have your women's division and your women's storylines could be a tipping point for your company or could help in drawing a new audience. And I think that's not something that we thought about as fans 2 years ago, you know, even though we had the Women's Revolution. Knowing now how much women's stories can impact viewership or just a potential fan base is a big deal. So continue to follow the promotions that you like. Continue to be the fans of what you like. But I also commend promotions for putting women more on the forefront and telling their stories.
And I mean, you know, I hate to be that guy, but remember, who did it in January? WWE did it in January. So as much as they don't do, you know, women's wrestling, they had Nia Jax fight her way into the Royal Rumble, and they had, you know, and fight with men. So, and that's something that,
and people
that,
loved,
you know,
that. Greg and I were there. I never seen so many people cheer for that. And even I was cheering for Randy Orton. I don't cheer for Randy Orton. I don't.
Oh, all we wanted was the RKO. I mean, everybody wanted to see the RKO.
Everybody wanted the RKO.
And that's the main reason why that Royal Rumble match probably went on last and the women's didn't.
because it wouldn't have made sense for Nia to enter the men's women royal first and not the women's. So, yeah, but it's worth it. In my opinion, especially looking back, I kind of wish they had done, they'd run with Nia versus Dean Ambrose. Obviously, water under the bridge at this point, but yeah, it's, you know, 2019, it's going to go down in history for a lot of reasons. I really hope Impact Wrestling not only has the roster there, they literally have the two women who have believably fought Brian Cage. Like, that's the big thing for me. Like, that's why I really hope they pull the trigger, because they got the people who've actually done it. It's not even something they got to try. You know it can be done. They've done it already.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we live in a crazy world, a crazy wrestling world. We're only in July 2019. We've already gotten so many surprises, and we still have a lot to go through. So who knows? Maybe this will change in a few weeks. Maybe this will keep on going. But more importantly, we just need to know who's the father of Maria's baby. stay tuned to thechairshot.com for all of your latest news and updates on who is the father of Maria's baby.
That's right. Steve Cook's got you covered. he'll make sure you're up to date.
Yes, he will keep all the updates going. Oh man. Well, that is another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show in the books.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank my co-host Greg DeMarco. Greg, why don't you tell our fine fans where they can find you?
They can, of course, find me on all forms of social media, at least the important ones, at Chairshot Greg. That's, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those are the only ones that I can think of that matter. I'm sure somebody's like, but I really like this one. I can't remember what it would be called. But they're out there, I know, but I'm not on them. But I'm on the other ones. And so I would love, you know, feel so inclined, follow me. A lot of people have followed me recently to the point where I can't even really follow along and immediately follow back. I will try. If you follow me and I don't follow you back and it's that important to you, send me a message or something. We'll figure it out. But, yeah, at Chairshot Greg.
And you can follow the Chair Shot on Twitter. You can go to thechairshot.com to follow the Chair Shot on Twitter. The Chair Shot's also on Facebook, facebook.com/thechairshot.com. And if you're on the Instagram, if you like to Insta, you can go follow the Chair Shot on Instagram at thechairshot.com. It's all thechairshot.com. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of your latest and accurate, important, great wrestling news and analysis. You can check out Mary Helen's article, Steve Cook's article that we talked about this evening. Also, I am the queen of soft style. So if you are looking for a soft style t-shirt, you can have your pick over at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, and you can get a whole variety of thechairshot.com t-shirts. Of course, we are very excited. We did Baron Corbin Sucks on the Greg DeMarco show, which if you don't know what that is, listen to the Greg DeMarco show. Then after that, buy the Baron Corbin Sucks shirt online, and then tweet us and tell us that you did all those things. You followed 1, 2, 3, and Greg will give you a thumbs up, you know.
I will.
Yeah. He's going to do it.
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
Yes. Yay.
I am not on Twitter, but you can find me on Facebook. I am Miranda Morales on Facebook. Feel free to friend me, send me a message, let me know your thoughts on the show. If you have any ideas on future topics, especially the hashtag Miranda Rights, we haven't done them in a few episodes, but I promise they will make a return. I was, based off of tonight's topic, I will let Greg know this one because I'm a nice person. I was going to somehow incorporate the word girl power into this, where I was going to make him say girl power a bunch of times, but I never quite worked out the logistics. So
it's okay.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it's, it's gotten to the point to me where, you know, we can do the hashtag Miranda Rights for fun, but like, you don't need them, in all honesty. Like, it's just, it's the show has
That's
grown to a
would
point where.
Say though, I feel like you're trying
you
to move me out of the hashtag Miranda Rights.
No,
I mean,
I wouldn't do that.
I don't need them,
I'm
but
insulted.
I want them. The fans want them. The people want them.
That might be true.
Actually,
that's fine.
True.
You can want them versus needing them, but you definitely don't need them.
We don't need them all the time because then they're not special. We always,
right.
You know, like it's fine china. You break it out during the special event, special occasion.
It's fine. Making me do stuff that I don't want to do is now a fine china.
Yeah.
That's where we are.
You know, just break in case of emergency. But
which apparently we'll have next week.
You know, I do think if you're ever, you know, interested in doing something for fun, I mean, you should tweet out a picture of the Spice Girls. We know that you love the Spice Girls. I love the Spice Girls. They're the epitome of girl power. And I feel like if you really support, you know, all the women out there who are, you know, in their careers, especially in wrestling, I think you should tweet a picture of the Spice Girls. But, I mean, that's if
that
you want to.
That's what you think I should do, huh? That's
what I really think you should do.
That's what you really, really want?
What I want is what I really, really want.
It's really just picking which Spice Girls thing I want to use, honestly. I think I'll go with this one. I'll go with that one right there. I mean, not that I'm doing it. So, all right, hang on. Let's see here. Because, you know, we like to associate these with music and gifts and everything. So let's see. Let's see how this works. We'll do that. We'll send that to you. And now we got to find. What's crazy is that I have multiple Spice Girls. No, I just have the one Spice Girl song. So let's.
Just the one.
Cue up
All
the
right.
GIF. So we got the GIF going, right? Yeah. The blue gloves are kind of weird. But and then. Look at that while you listen to this.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna dig a big eye. If you want my future, shut up!
I kind of feel like Lana could have been a Spice Girl.
She would have been such a good Spice Girl.
She would have. Can she sing like has she ever sung on one of those reality shows? I don't even know.
So, you know, eventually we're going to have a conversation about reforming the Spice Girls as female wrestlers. Like, which, you know, who's going to be who? Like, Nikki Cross would be a really good sporty Spice. Of course, Naomi would be. What do you mean I have to do my research?
No, I'm going to have to do research because I couldn't tell
you
who they are. But you, it sounds like I don't need to. It sounds like you got a good handle on it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the mind of a female wrestling fan sometimes goes into some, you know, interesting places because.
Yeah, we had the fan fiction conversation a couple months ago.
Well, not that weird. We're not going into that. But. Especially because the women in professional wrestling, they have such unique looks and styles. And so when you're already thinking about like, oh, you know, which female wrestlers would you put as this group or this TV show or that? In some ways, it's a little easy because everyone has kind of their dynamic, their personality. Also, that's just what I think about all day. Random thing. I feel like Carmella would be a very good Jerry Halliwell. I forgot what her Spice Girl name was.
Wasn't she the redhead?
Yes.
Let's see here. How do you even spell her name? So she is, oh my goodness, let's find out what she was. Geraldine, Jerry, where's
Ginger? Okay, that's what I thought.
Like, I don't think I'm looking
Ginger
up the right
Spice.
Jerry Halliwell, to be honest with you, because I'm finding someone who's old and dead. So yeah,
no,
that's not. Oh, no, that's definitely not. I'm going to have to send you the Jerry
Hollowell. Oh, God.
This is, I'm going to hell, but I was already going to hell, so it doesn't matter. So,
yeah, Liv Morgan would be a good baby.
Oh,
wife.
Yeah. This is so we're doing. So we're not going to do this in the future. We're just going to do it now.
I'm just doing it now. I mean, this may change because then, like, we can do one with like the Impact roster. We could do one like from. But Pasha's hard. I'm trying to think of like which. I guess I'm just sticking with WWE. Which female? Maybe like Zelina Vega, but also maybe like a Charlotte Flair.
What
because
if,
of kind of that
short hair?
Yeah, she's the short hair one.
That's what I thought, because I was kind of thinking, because of the hair, only because of the hair, I was thinking like Ruby Riott. But that's not even real. I don't know.
No.
You could just say
because
no.
Because
Posh
is very like high class and, you know, like.
Are you saying Ruby Riott's not classy?
She's punk rock. And that's also. I don't think she would want to be Posh.
Oh, okay. That's a nice little save you had there. I mean, looking at pictures of Posh, definitely no go on Ruby Riott.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There's really nobody in WWE that would fit at all, in my opinion.
Then this is going to be, you know, how we continue the conversation. Now essentially we have to find our Posh spies.
Zelina Vega, maybe. Maybe we can find somebody in NXT. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a secret clue into my mind. Sometimes when I'm just thinking, I think, how would I form the Spice Girls in WWE? Pretty quick.
You're on your way there already. Didn't take you long.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm definitely halfway there. I've definitely thought about I've thought about this because of the popularity of the girls from Sex and the City. You know, a long time ago there was all these quizzes and T-shirts and things like that about, oh, are you a Miranda? Are you a Charlotte? Are you a Carrie or Samantha? They need to do the same thing with the four horsewomen. You know, are you a Bailey? Are you a Sasha? Are you a Becky? Are you a Charlotte? I mean, if they were ever on quote unquote good terms again, but that's something they could totally capitalize on because each one of these women have distinct traits and personalities and styles. And I could definitely see people out there, you know, whether it's items or just.
I'm surprised WWE hasn't put that quiz together, to be honest with you. Like that. See, they probably will now that you've brought it up. So look for that in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Because they totally listen to the show because we are total. We're funded. This is a WWE subsidy.
That's right.
I'd love to think that.
If we're on standby, if the Evolve show doesn't happen on Saturday, then we have to go on the air and run against AEW. So yeah, be ready.
Ooh, so many things we didn't even get to talk about because of that. We'll save it for next week.
Yeah, we can talk about it. So you know, I know you think you're going to the Rockstar show, but you know we might have to be on the air and duty calls WWE Network. What you can't turn it down. So yeah, be ready.
Oh, I'll ring announce and then I'll just have it on my phone while I have another match. Haven't you done that? You've had like multiple matches running at the same time?
Sure.
We just one in real life and then one on your phone.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Somehow I think you're going to be in the clear. I don't know. It's just a hunch. I think it's going to be okay. I think you're going to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish on Saturday without any interruptions, at least not from me or the WWE.
I'm ready. I'm ready. If we got to, you know, go live on the air randomly, I will be there.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yes. Hey, I'm a professional. I can have it all. Okay. Becky Lynch has taught me I could have it all. If I want to announce and also watch WWE on my phone at the same time, I can do it.
Yes, you can. I believe in you.
That sounded a little condescending.
It wasn't. It wasn't condescending at all. It was real, and apparently that doesn't work anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. I went from Becky to Maria, where now I'm just criticizing everything that you just said about me.
See?
That's how we think, apparently.
But who am I to criticize that?
Hey, look. She's not wrong. I mean, I think everyone gets in those moods where you just say the slightly wrong thing, and then it's, what? So you're saying I don't look pretty? So you're saying I'm this? And God bless Mike. He was trying to do his best, but he was wrong since the moment he walked into that room.
Pretty much. That's just the way it is.
I hope things work out for those kids.
I mean,
the married couple and the actual kids.
Right. I know. Those are the ones that are going to be traumatized, but who knows? Hey, look, they sign, you know, $500,000 contracts. They'll be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. They got all that re-up money.
Yep. Got all that don't leave money.
Well, they're not going anywhere. WWE is going to pay for their next, like, three kids.
Hopefully not all three of those are involved in storylines.
One is outdone. Maybe the second one is, like, you have twins. Well, hopefully you're not second-guessing who's, like, the father of each twin. But, like, multiple storyline, like, multiple babies. Like, on TLC, they have all those shows of, like, people with seven kids, like, maybe that's a thing. The next time she has like five babies. I don't know. I'm not a creative person. I'm not a writer, WWE. Half the time I'm just stealing things that I see on TV. But
that's
sometimes those are better than WWE's ideas. So
exactly.
They should just, I could be the person they hire just to go through different TV channels and shows and just steal ideas from other people or other shows.
I mean, I'm sure that role exists. May not exist in title. We probably can't find it on the website, but I'm sure they got somebody. Or maybe they could use somebody.
Hmm? I'll pitch it.
You should.
I guess I'll pitch it to them.
Get it in front of somebody.
Yeah. Well, Greg, we've definitely gone over time. And I'm the rambling rabbit of this. I just went down a rabbit hole of Spice Girls, but
yeah, but I didn't bother you on your own show because I'm not allowed.
No, because if you did, I'd find you.
I'm not hard to find. It's pretty easy for you to do.
That's also true.
Yeah, I'd probably be like, "Where do you want me to meet you so you can punch me?" And then
that is,
yeah. I mean,
and he
you
would.
Punch me.
He'd be.
You punch me during the fake game of you know whatever it's called, musical
yeah,
chairs.
Yeah, he said you pinched me. Nah, I'm gonna punch you. I've been around this long enough where pinching does not do
I got to make up what happened because I made up the game. You pinched me. So, sorry.
Why would I pinch you? That is like the least effective move of all time.
It worked.
I should have at least tripped you. Why can't I just trip you? Why can't I take a chair and hit you in the back?
Because those are dangerous. Even if it's a gimmicked chair, it's still not going to work.
Put your hands up. Just protect the head. And I said back. Just prepare for it. That's how it works. I am that kid. And by kid, I mean adult, where I watch something on TV and I want to try it on someone. They didn't warn about, you know, don't try this at home as an adult. That's really targeted to kids.
It is, but sometimes we just don't grow up, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another edition. We will be back next week with more wrestling analysis, opinions, ideas, randomness, because you know you love it. This is why you listen, because you love the randomness. You love the Miranda. You love the Greg. So we'll be back next week. Enjoy your week. Take care. And don't forget, support your local wrestling promotions.
That's right. That's right. You're going to love next week's Greg DeMarco show, I'm telling you. I'm not telling you why, because I'll give it away. It would be easier to give it away to Patrick than it would be to give it away to you, because he's been involved in this for longer. But, yeah, it's going to be fun.
So you're telling me you're still not going to tell me anything about next week's show?
Basically, yeah.
Well, I guess that's how we're going to end my show, by talking about your show.
See what I
did
there?
This is a weird narrative. So I have to go back to talking about my show, which, you know, you never know what you're going to get here. So come back and listen. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what's going to happen out there in the wrestling world. So if you want something current, if you want something exciting and a little bit of fun, you know where to come back. Next week, the hashtag Miranda Show.
Adult. Adult.